name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's Gospel from Luke, we hear the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, this parable is unique in a particular way because Jesus specifically names one of the characters. He typically doesn't do that. He calls the poor man Lazarus. And it begins in verse 19 with the words, "There was a certain rich man." Now that's verse 16. Verse 19. Go back up to verse 1, we find another parable that Jesus gave. And it begins, "There was a certain rich man." So he was doing, he had two parables back to back about a rich man. And the one from verse 1 and forward, Jesus taught that you cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve two masters. And in verse 14 it says, "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him." So that's one reason probably why Jesus told him another parable about trusting in money. Jesus has also just taught that while the Pharisees look at the outside, God looks at the inside, at the heart. Today's parable drives home that it's not the externals that are important. What we have, what our job is, what kind of car we have, and so on. We should give thanks for what we have, you know, what God has blessed us with, whatever it may be. But what we have is not as important as what is in our heart. We should not put our trust and hope in anything of this world. Anything. Our heart and hope must be centered on God, His grace, and His mercy. Now, Jesus uses parables to focus on an attitude or an issue, to bring something to light. In this parable, the attitude he's dealing with, the Pharisees, is their attitude towards wealth. In their day, they thought that wealth was a sign of spirituality and blessing from God. Well, there are a lot of people that view that even today. It can be, but it's not necessarily true. Wealth is not a valid spiritual barometer. In fact, in other places, Christ describes that having wealth can be a problem, can be a hindrance to seeking God. It's such a powerful magnet that it can drag you into focusing on yourself and what you have and not being willing to let go of anything that God asks you to let go of. Which we see was the problem with the rich man in this parable. And in one sense, it's wealth in and of itself is not wrong. It can make things more difficult, as I said. The point is what you do with what you have. Do you just keep it for yourselves? Focus on yourself? Ignore others? Now, there's nothing in the parable that indicates this rich man got his money in a bad way. In one sense, it's not important how he got it. But there's nothing to indicate he committed a crime or evil deed or gained it in a crooked manner. He was a rich man. Father Abraham, into whose bosom Abraham was carried in this parable, was in fact one of the richest men of his day. But Father Abraham was rich not only in material possessions, but much more so in faith in God and His love. We also found that the poor were looked down upon. But again, we learn in this parable that money and possessions are no measure of a person's worthiness before God. It doesn't matter to God whether someone's rich or poor, but where their heart is. In this parable, the rich man goes to Hades. The poor man goes in the bosom of Abraham, into the heavenlies. And this parable, so it's sort of a parable of contrast, both in earthly life and the afterlife. On this earth, the rich man dressed nice, he ate well, and so on. Lazarus dressed in rags, went hungry, and was covered in sores. They both died, And we find now the results are just totally different. Lazarus was in the place of rest. The rich man was in Hades in torment. Now, this had an effect on the rich man, for sure. You would think it would have had a humbling effect. But Jesus illustrates that it's kind of hard for some to be humble. Anyhow, he said, instead we find the rich man not repentant, but still trying to order others and look after himself. He wants Lazarus to come bring him water. His attitude has not changed. He's not remorseful at all. He does finally start thinking about some others other than himself, asking that someone be sent to his five brothers to testify to them so they don't come to this place of torment that he's in. And Christ responds that they have Moses and the prophets. Abraham responds that they have Moses and the prophets in this parable. But the man then argues, but they need more than that. They need more than the prophets. If someone came to them from the dead, then they would repent. And Abraham responds that if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, even though one rises from the dead. And this is quite a commentary on the Pharisees. The Pharisees did not listen to what the prophets said about the Messiah coming, nor how to treat others, their neighbors. Their hearts were far from God. It's interesting that Jesus did, in fact, later raise his friend named Lazarus from the dead. What was the Pharisees' response to that? It didn't convince them. Even after Jesus himself was raised from the dead, many were still not convinced. If a person's heart is seeking God, he will find God. If a person's heart is hard, signs and miracles will not make them believe. It all goes back to the heart. Looking over this parable again, consider why this rich man went to Hades. Was it because he was rich? No. It was because his relationship to God was not correct, was not good, or rather his lack of a relationship with God. His heart was hard. His treatment of Lazarus on earth was an outward expression of his perspective of God. It revealed his true relationship with God, or lack of one. Actions speak of what is in the heart. And that's why our good deeds are the things that show what is in our heart. The rich man had plenty of opportunity to use what he had to help Lazarus, who was right at his doorstep. So what are the things that we learn from this parable today? For one, we need to be quick to repent. We should not be like the rich man and look for excuses or point the finger elsewhere, but be quick to look to ourselves, acknowledge and repent of our own shortcomings. We can't count on our station in life, what we have or don't have, as a measure of spirituality. That's the wrong measure. What matters is not the outside, but what's in the heart. And it's important what we do with what we have, whatever it may be, however much, little or much. What do we do? Even the widow who gave just a mite gave a tremendous amount in the Lord's eyes, because she did not have much and she gave a little of what she had. It's what's important is what we do with what we do have. And we may not be able to solve, we can't solve all the miseries of this world of ours. But by the grace of God, we can make a difference in the lives of those that are around us and those that God brings across our path. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.